Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
We're going to be talking about our shared enemy tonight, Satan the sifter, Satan the sifter. So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at several verses here. You can just remain seated tonight. I'm going to read several verses of text. Luke chapter 22, I'm going to start with verse 31, and we'll read down through to 34 and then skip down to verse 54 through 62. Luke chapter 22. Starting with verse 31. And here the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Now skip down here to verse 54. The Bible says, "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Father God, I'm asking for your help tonight to be able to preach for just a few minutes on this text, God, that we'll come away from here, Lord, understanding what an enemy we have among us. And God, we have a great Savior also, Lord, that can protect us from this enemy. And God, we're just praying that you do a mighty work in our hearts, Lord, through your word. God, keep me out of the way. Let you be seen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in our opening text, we have this familiar story. I've read this probably hundreds, if not thousands of times, over and over and over. And it's of the Lord warning Peter about what's going to happen to him just very soon. We saw there, we skipped from verse 34 to 54, how much had changed in just those few verses. And it's the same day that all this happened on. But he told Peter that Satan desired him, and that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. And so it's a warning to this man. He wants him to know these things are going to happen. And we all just saw where Peter, he denied that. He said, no, hey, I'll go with you to death. I'll go to prison for you. I'll even go to death with you if that's what it takes. And the Lord told him, no, Peter, in fact, you're going to deny me. You're going to do it three times, in fact. Well, Peter had no idea that he would really do that. To Peter, he was earnestly in his heart. He believed he would have went to prison for Jesus. He had. And he believed that he would go to him to death. But we find out that that didn't happen. But he believed it would. Listen, friends, I have learned one thing in my years of being a Christian. And don't you ever forget this. It doesn't matter how close you are to the Lord Jesus. The devil desires you. He wants to sift you. He is your greatest enemy. You can walk as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Peter was with him for over 3 years. Side by side. They ate together. They walked together. They talked together. They ministered together. They were right there together all the time. He had the greatest preacher in the world with him at all times. But yet the devil still desired him. The devil desired him and he wanted to sift him. We see the case here in Peter, over these years that he's known Jesus, how It seems to us easily that Satan was able to manipulate him and to turn him against Jesus. In fact, I believe the closer you walk with the Lord, I find in the Bible, the more Satan desires you. It whets his appetite. You see, he knows that those that are saved, he can't take their eternal soul. So he desires you even more because he wants to prove to the Lord that you're not going to be faithful to him. He wants to prove that you are not going to be the Christian you ought to be. And so the devil will try his devilish best to get you. Now, like I said, if you're a true born believer, you can't lose your salvation. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've received Christ as your Savior, he's yours forever. You're his and he's yours, and there's nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. You're saved eternally. But I do know that when Satan can't have what he wants, he's going to do other things to make up for it. He desired to have Peter's testimony. He desired to have Peter proven wrong of his faith. He wanted to be able to stand up and say, do you see, Peter stood there and said he would go to prison for you. Peter said he would go to the death with you, but I want to prove him wrong. Look what he's going to do. And so Satan desired to see that happen. He wanted the whole world to see it. And here we're talking about it tonight. Over 2,000 years later, we're still talking about how the devil got to Peter, even though he was close to Jesus. Listen, friends, Satan desires you. He wants to have you. He wants to tear you apart. He wants to tear your family apart. He wants to tear up your testimony. The biggest thing of a Christian that Satan wants to do to you is to tear up your testimony. You can spend your entire life building your testimony, living a perfect life, never doing anything wrong, never doing anything of blemish. Nobody ever say anything bad towards you. You can go through this life perfect, living perfectly, and in a fleeting second, Satan can get to you and tempt you, and you'll give into it, and you'll blow your entire Christian testimony. It'll take you the rest of your life, if you ever get it back, to get your testimony back. In just a second. Listen, he hates you. Satan hates you. He hates God. He hates the Lord Jesus. He already knows he's been defeated. He knows in the end that he's getting cast in the lake of fire, and there's not a thing he can do about it. And so in the meantime, as God allows him to continue roaming over this earth, he's going to spend his time desiring to sift you, is what he's going to do. And he'll do it in many different ways. He'll find that sin that so easily besets you to use against you. You know the one. We all have them. That sin that seems to tempt you more than any other sin. And Satan will use that against you. He'll use other people to bring it up to you so that it'll tempt you. He'll have you, you'll go in places and he'll make sure that you notice things that's going to draw you from the Lord, to draw you away from him. He uses many devices. He'll use pride. He'll use money. He'll use sex. He'll use personal indulgences. He'll use all manner of things to try to draw you and to have you. But he'll use that sin against you, the one that you know you have. And listen, if you aren't saved, he wants to make sure that you stay that way too. He sure does. If you're saved, though, he wants to do everything in his power to discredit you and defeat you. He wants to make sure he occupies your time more than any time that you spend with the Lord Jesus, and he will. That's what the world does today. It's a time occupier. What do you think this thing right here is that we all carry around now? Everybody almost in the entire world has one of these in their pocket now. Well, actually, it's in the palm of their hand most of the time. I work in downtown, and everybody I see is walking around like this. They're walking through Market Square like this right here. They're standing in the subway like this right here. They're standing on the sidewalks in the restaurants. There'll be a table of people, and they're all sitting here like this right here. The devil will occupy your time through things like this right here. Oh, you've got the world at your fingertips right here. I can get on here and go on the World Wide Web and I can find anything that my little heart desires. Every wicked and evil imagination that you could have in your heart, in your head, you could find it right here in one of these smartphones. And Satan will use that against you, and you better watch it. He sure will do that. But he'll occupy your time so that you don't have time for God. See, if you're busy doing all these other things that's occupying your time and drawing your attention away and trying to pull at you and tempt you, you don't have time for the Lord. That's what he wants. He wants you to take the time away from the Lord Jesus. He desires to have you. But having said all that, we can't blame every single thing that we do upon the devil. Every time you sin, it's not the devil that's making you do it, okay? Does anybody here know who Flip Wilson is? Flip Wilson was a comedian. He was a black comedian back in the 60s and 70s. I remember when I was a little boy in the 70s, Flip Wilson was a big deal. Flip Wilson, he kind of made that line up in one of his little acts that he did. He had these two characters, Reverend Leroy, and there was Sister Geraldine Jones. Geraldine Jones was this promiscuous lady that was in his church, and she was always doing things, and Reverend Leroy would come up and ask her why she did it. And he'd come up to her, and he talked like Jesse Duplantis, by the way. Oh, Flip Wilson did. He was talking like that. And so Reverend Leroy would come up, and he'd say, "Sister Geraldine, what made you drive your car into the church?" And she'd fire back. She said, "The devil made me do it." And then she'd make up all these things of why the devil had caused her to do this. "Sister Geraldine, why'd you buy that dress that you're wearing?" And she said, "The devil made me do it. I was walking by the window, and he come up behind me and pushed me in the store." And so she would come up with all these excuses of why the devil made her do it. And it was a big joke, and that's where that line comes from. When you hear somebody say that, "the devil made me do it," that's where it actually come from, back there in the 70s with old Flip Wilson. But listen, friends, I want to tell you something that may surprise you. If you're saved, the devil cannot make you do anything. He can't make you sin. It's impossible for him. If you're saved, it's impossible for the devil to make you sin. He cannot do it. He does not have that power. If you have the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost living inside of you, the devil cannot make you sin. It's impossible. And to say otherwise is to say God's word is lying. But the truth is, Satan doesn't make you do all these things. It's your flesh. It's your sinful flesh. That sin nature that you inherited from Adam when the first sin was committed there in the Garden of Eden. You inherited that sin nature. And your flesh draws you to sin. And so, just like in today's society, anybody that commits a crime, the first thing they want to do, they want to cast blame on somebody else. "Well, my mama made me do this when I was a kid. My daddy did this to me. My friends that I'm around, they caused this. It's society that's made me this way." And they blame everybody in the world. "Why are you fat? My mama made me eat everything on my plate. That's why I'm fat." And that's the truth right there. No, I'm telling you, we want to blame everything that we do on somebody else. Nobody wants to take personal responsibility for anything they do, and that includes sin. And so you catch somebody, somebody's caught in their sin, and the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And sin affects more than you. When you sin, it's not just affecting you, friend. It affects people around you. You may not see it. You may not notice it. But it affects your family, it affects your friends, it affects your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, it affects your church, it affects everything that you come into contact with, your sin does. And it will find you out. A lot of people think they've hid sin. I've heard of people that's committed murder, and they'll go by 30, 40 years, think they're off scot-free, and suddenly something will come up. There's new DNA evidence that they found, and it matches this guy that was arrested for drunk driving the other night, and it popped up on the screen. That's the guy that killed that woman 30 years ago. You find this all the time. Listen, friend, your sin will find you out. It may be 30 years, but it may be the next day. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it'll find you out. Listen, the devil doesn't make you sin. He can tempt you to sin, and he's good at it. The devil can't read your mind, by the way. A lot of people think the devil can read your mind. He don't have that power, friends. Devil can't read your mind, but the devil reads people. There's a way that you can read people. You can see how they react to certain things, and you can get their patterns down. And you can assume that you know exactly what they're going to do in the next case.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Holy man will be shattered.